All right, Joel, say good morning. So today's daf is Nun. We're going to pick up on the bottom of Memtes Amud Beis. We left off the Amr of Elozer. So 2, 4, 6 lines up from the bottom. A couple of words from the end of the line. Amr of Elozer, what's the meaning of the Pasuk? Pia Pascha b'chachma v'soras chesed al l'shona. What's the meaning of the Pasuk when it says in Mishlei, her mouth is open with wisdom, and the Torah of chesed, the Torah of kindness, is on her tongue. Is there such a thing as a Torah of Chesed versus a Torah that's not of Chesed? Meaning you would say Torah is kula Chesed. So what's the pshat? So we'll say this is very beautiful. The Torah the Shema, Zohi Torah shel Chesed. But also when a person learns Torah the Shema, what's the definition of Torah the Shema? Many different definitions of Torah the Shema, but the most basic idea is that sometimes, you know, we learn for all different kinds of reasons. Sometimes we learn to acquire knowledge. Sometimes we learn to acquire kavod. Sometimes we learn to give a shtach to someone else. We learn for all kinds of different reasons. Torah the Shema means just learning for the sake of serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We say if you ever want to see what real Torah the Shema looks like, you look at children. That's Torah the Shema, right? Nothing in it for him except serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's an amazing. That's why the Gemara says, "Ena olam is kayim ela behevel piyim shel tinokos beis rabim." The world is sustained not through our Torah. The world is sustained through children's Torah, because ultimately, again, it is Torah the Shema. So that's Torah. So again, Torah shel chesed is Torah the Shema. Zoi Torah shel chesed shelo the Shema. Zoi Torah shel chesed. So I will say, when I learn Torah the Shema, that's a chesed to the Ribono Shel Olam, because I'm just doing it for the sake of doing it, not because of reward, not because of avoidance of punishment, but just simply to serve the Ribono Shel Olam. Ikedamri, others say, is also very beautiful. Torah Lelamda, Zoi Torah Shel Chesed. Others say, no, what's the definition of Torah Shel Chesed? Torah Shel Chesed is when you learn Torah with the intention to teach others. So when you go ahead and you learn and you acquire knowledge in order to be able to convey it to others, that's Torah Shel Chesed. But if you're just learning for yourself, not to spread, and I will say, and by the way, when we say teach it to others, lab dafka giving a shir, but the idea ultimately is what? That you're going to share that knowledge with others. You're going to somehow use it to inform others as well. So if you're not going to use it to teach others, zoi torah she'eino shel chesed, and that is not a chesed diketorah, says the Gemara, quoting the Mishnah, kimaseh b'chav. So remember again, the Mishnah said by the Simchas Beis HaShoiva, that when on Shabbos, they would fill up an unconsecrated golden barrel on Friday, and then they would go ahead and use that on Shabbos morning. So the Mishnah goes out of its way to say that the golden barrel would dafka be unconsecrated. So the Gemara says, but why is that? V'amai, Nesiva Mikudeshes, why do you have to bring the water in an unconsecrated utensil? Why can't you go ahead and just draw it in a regular klisha? So once again, just understand, generally for avoda, you would use a klisharis. You would use a service vessel. And by the way, they would do this because remember, what ends up happening is you actually they would draw the water from the barrel with a pitcher. That pitcher would be a klisharis. So if you're a service utensil, because you can't go in and pour water on the mizbeach from an unconsecrated utensil. So what the Gemara is going to say is essentially, if you're already going ahead and poor Mr. Ringo, you are a good grandfather, I'm telling you. So if you go ahead and already have to pour it on the Mizbeach for the sit with a klisharis, why not just put it in the klisharis from the beginning? To which the Gemara says something very interesting. Amar Ziri Kasavar Ein Shir Lamayim. Because Ziri holds, there's no shir for the water. I will say it's very important. Remember, we established yesterday when we had a machlokes rabbi and the rabbanon, but the way we paskin is how much water do they draw for nisach hamayim? 3 lugin. Right, Rabbi Huda said 1 lug. We paskin 3 lugin. Now, what's interesting is what Gemara is suggesting now is that 3 lugin is a minimum, but there is no maximum. Meaning, you could pour as much water as you want. Look at Rashi. Ain shir lamayim shafilu yosem mishlosha lugin ruyin lanasech dilo pir shaben torah shiura hilchach ruyin liklihen vikli miyad nekadish tichsev kalan algea bahem yikash bless you vafilu inarot tishis kachu ad machar hakli mekach miyad shlomidas. We also listen to this. So a couple of things going on over here. So remember, we're trying to figure out, why is it that when they're drawing the water on Friday for tomorrow's usage, why do you have to put it in an unconsecrated kli, put in a kli shar? So Ziri says, I'm going to tell you why. Number one, there's no shear for water. So 3 lugin is a minimum, but the truth is you could use as much water for nisach hamayim as you want. That's number one. Number two, Ukli sharis mekachin shalomidas. We'll say number two is that a kli sharis, a service utensil, sanctifies its contents even without intent. We'll say, what does that mean? The moment you introduce something to a kli sharis, by definition, it becomes kadosh, even if what? Even if what? Even if that was not your intent to make it kadosh. Meaning, let's say you don't want it to become kadosh now for reasons we'll see later on. It doesn't matter. As soon as it enters into the kli sharis, it's kadosh. Top of nun. Now, I listen to this. Therefore, taking these two things together, that number one, there's no shir. No maximum shir. Number two, that kli sharis is mekadesh even shalom midas. If you were to go ahead and put that water that's going to be used for nisach hamayim tomorrow, I mean, you're putting it in Friday, and you're going to leave it until tomorrow. What's going to happen? If Sululahu belina. Oh, I must say, you know what happens? Halacha l'maisa is a concept of lina. What does lina mean? That if something sits overnight, it may not be used for sacrificial service. Now, the din of lina only applies when an item is in a kli sharis. So what's interesting, so says Ze'iri, the reason you can't put the water that's drawn on Friday for the sake of Shabbos' libation, the reason you can't put it in a kli sharis, because if you were to do that, what would happen? The water ultimately, again, would become kadosh already on Friday, because kli sharis is mekadesh shalomidas. And once it's kadosh and it sits overnight and it's not used, it's pasul because of lina. And once it's pasul because of lina, then what? You can no longer use it for nisach hamayim. Therefore, the only way to avoid that is to what? Is to put it in an unconsecrated vessel. So the Gemara goes weiter. Chizki Amar, and we'll take a look at Rashi. The Ma'isi ben Kodesh of Sobelina, Hoel ve'ikdashu kedusha sagof havaluhu, ki emuri karban. Because once it goes into a klisharis, it becomes fully sanctified, no different than a karban. I will say, just like a karban, if it's left overnight, past the time of its window of consumption, becomes pasul. So to this water is no different than a karban. It will become pasul belina as well. That's opinion number one. Chizkiah has a different reason. Chizkiah Amar, kli sharis in mekachin elamidas. So first of all, Chizkiah disagrees with Ze'iri. Number one, not true. A kli sharis is only mekadesh midas, or he phrases it in negative. In mekachin elamidas. I mean, a kli sharis, I will say, only sanctifies its contents. What? When? If that was the intent of the person who was placing it inside. Ugzera shemayomru lidas niskachu. And what's the concern? The concern is that maybe people will say that the contents were sanctified ledas in accordance with the will of the individual. What does that mean? Look at Rashi. Chizkiah Amar, ha vaday matzis lemashma minei de'in shir lemais. First of all, Chizkiah agrees with Ze'iri. Number one, that what? That lemaisa, there is no maximum shir for nisach hamayim. That's number one. Aval kiddush shalomidas lo shamina minei. But Chizkiah disagrees with Ze'iri and holds that a kli sharis cannot sanctify something without the das of the person placing it in. However, the time of the masnis, and so I'll both say, see, here's the interesting part. If that's the case, that a kli sharis can't be mekadesh shalomi das, then what? Then what should we do? Bless you. We should put the water on Friday where? In a kli sharis. And just have in mind that it shouldn't become kadosh until when? Until the next morning, and then you avoid the issue of lina. So why doesn't Chizkiah? So what's wrong? So Chizkiah says, by time of the masnisin, dulamaisi mekudesh. So the reason the Mishnah, why on Friday you can't put the water in a sanctified in a klisharis, demand the chazi luhu lamachar, the shakli luhu misoch klisharis, because it's almost like out of a marasayim. Because one who sees you the next morning removing the water from the klisharis, sabr ledas shikachim meklinik nubame etmo. Will assume that when did the water become sanctified or consecrated? Yesterday, the chayvan de in shir lemayim kitchumakli the kachazi dimenaski lehu shmamina in mina mo elas binasachem benafka minei churba. So we'll say Chizkiah says is a marasayin issue. The truth is that kli sharis is not mekadesh shalomidas. So technically speaking, when you draw that water on Friday, you could put it in a kli sharis. Have in mind that the kli sharis should not sanctify until tomorrow, and shalomayis, well, you're good to go. What's the issue? Somebody looking at that is not going to understand the mechanics that kli sharis is not mekadesh shalomidas. Therefore, they're going to assume, when did the kli sharis sanctify the water? When did it sanctify the water? Friday, yesterday. And you see from here what? That there's no psul lino. That there's no psul of just leaving sacrificial or consecrated items overnight. And Rashi says, v'nafik mine churva. You could have, you know, sacrificial catastrophe could emanate from that because people will suddenly begin taking certain leniencies with consecrated property. Therefore, says Chizkiah, in order to avoid the marasayim, we don't put the water on Friday in the kli sharis, but rather remember, what did the Mishnah say? We're putting it in that unconsecrated golden barrel. I'm Rebbe Zera. Rabbi Z I'm excuse me, I'm Rabbi Yana, I'm Rabbi Zera. Rabbi Yana and Rabbi Zera say the following. Afilu tema yesh shir lamayim. Even if you want to say there is a shir for the water. So we'll say let's say now third opinion. So Rabbi Zera says, even if you want to say that there is a shir for the water. Okay. And what? Ukli sharis in mekachin elamidas. And kli sharis is not mekadesh except with intent. So I will say if you take these two things together, then Lamay said there's no reason why you shouldn't be able to go ahead and put water in a kli sharis on Friday. So we'll say Rabbi Yana and Rabbi Zera say, what's the issue? The issue is that Lemaisa, again, because there is a shear for Mayim, kli sharis not mikadesh except for das. If you fill it up the day before in a kli sharis, what's the concern? That people are going to think that in fact this water was filled up for kiddush adayim v'raglayim, the sanctification of the hands and feet of the kohen. Now, what does this mean? Take a look at Rashi. There's a concern that people will think that you filled up this water for the sanctification of the hands and feet of the kohen gadol. Because also remember, you cannot use unsanctified or unconsecrated water for washing of hands and feet of the kohanim. He says, "Dumya dikir shenim shach b'shemen amishcha u'mekadesh es meimav." Because we know from the kir is a kli sharis. It was anointed with anointing oil and ultimately sanctifies its water. Ve'hem lekir shav raglayim v'akiton shal zav shayu osim lechvodo shal kohen gadol kadosh shemenu yadav raglav kiramina b'sidigma. And I will say even the golden jug, which we learned about in Yuma, that the kohen gadol used to wash his hands and feet on Yom Kippur, mekudash haya. So what's the issue? So according to Rabbi Yana and Rabbi Zera, there's another issue. First of all, again, there is a shear for mine. So you're only going to use three lugin for nisuch hamayim. Number two, kli sharis is not mekadesh ela ledas. You have to have intent for a kli sharis. So what's the issue over here? The issue over here is that if you have a kli sharis filled with water overnight, people don't automatically know that that's for nisuch hamayim. They could just as easily assume that what is it for? It's for kiddush adayim raglayim, the sanctification of the hands and feet. Now, if you go ahead and you had water for kiddush adayim raglayim sitting overnight, what's that halacha? It's possible. Why is possible, Belina? Why is it possible? Because we will say any sacrificial item is going to be possible if left unused overnight. That's why, if you remember again in Yuma, remember we saw the Yam Shel Shlomo. That's why, again, this was the big problem in the Beis Hamikdash. Not problem, but it's an issue. It's an issue. What's the issue? The cure is this large, what do they call it? A lever?
Lever.
Big thing. Right? A big receptacle filled with water. What's the issue? Is that technically speaking, at night, you actually have to drain all the water. You have to drain all the water because that water becomes puzzle. Remember, Shlomo Melech made that whole contraption with the pulley system where they would crank up the cure, drop it into a big body of water, and that would allow it to remain in the body of water overnight. The next morning, they take it out. So the according to Rabbi Yana, the issue over here is if people see water sitting overnight, they will assume that's what? That water ultimately was for Kiddush Adayim V'Raglayim. And what erroneous assumption will they draw, which is that you could use water that's set overnight for kiddush adayim v'raglayim, and therefore again when we draw the water on Friday we dafka put it in a non kli sharis because it's a non kli sharis. There's no psul lina, and the next morning when the kohen needs to use it for nisuch hamayim, he'll draw it from the barrel with the natural kli sharis and go to the Mizbeach and do Nisuch Mayim. So I'll say three different opinions as to, here's what everybody agrees with, which is that when they're drawing water for the Shabbos libation, they're not putting that water in a Kli Sharis on Shabbos morning. They're not putting it on Shabbos morning. And they're putting it in that golden barrel, on Friday. They're putting it in the golden barrel on Friday. And Shabbos morning, the Kohen will come and draw the water with the Kli Sharis from that unconsecrated barrel. Three different opinions as to why we need to do it that way. We have Ze'iri telling us, Kli Sharis is Mekadesh Shalomidas. Therefore, if you put it in the Kli Sharis, it will become possible with Lina overnight. We have Chizkiya telling us that what? That Gzeira, that even though Kli Sharis is not Mekadesh Shalomidas, but Gzeira, that people will say it's Mekadesh Shalomidas. And then again, Rabbi Yana and Rabbi Zeira who say, the truth is, it's a Gzeira that people will think that it's really water for Kiddush Adayim V'Raglayim. That was left overnight, and people will still think that it's kosher.
Weiter. The key that you have to say that even if it was there from the day before,
words with das. Otherwise, Lina wouldn't apply also to the third man dama. In other words, we're saying that there's no Lina elish lo elva midas.
Right.
So that problem would be, what we're saying that problem is with the kiyor automatically.
Kiyor's ladas.
That's what I
have. Yeah, yeah, of course. You have to, correct. Correct. You'd have to say kiyor's ladas. Correct. That is correct. Nishbecha onis gala. So also, remember, what did the Mishnah say? The Mishnah said that lemaisa, if you went ahead, if the water spilled, let me read it to you. Nishbecha onis gala, meaning the Rosh said, this is to about the Shabbos case. I filled up water on Friday. I put it in my unconsecrated golden barrel. Now what happens? If it spills, remember, if it spills, you obviously, you're not going back to the Shiloach on Shabbos. So if it spills, or niskala. We'll say niskala means it was left uncovered. It was left uncovered overnight. So what is the halacha? Memali mina kiyor. They would go ahead and they would fill it up from the kiyor. Why, the Mishnah says? Because wine and water that was left uncovered overnight is possible for the mizbeach. So says the Gemara the following. Va'amai, the other Mishnah, so both side, there's a concept of mayim megulin. What does mayim megulin mean? Mayim megulin means that lemaisa, you can't drink water. This is even outside of the mizbeach. As I listen, you can't drink water that was left overnight. It was a gzera that I left uncovered overnight. It was a gzera that Chazal made. That what? That there was a concern that maybe a snake came to it over the course of the night, injected venom into it, and drinking it could be a sakana. I both say that's why. Interestingly enough, today, so we're not really as makbid on Mayan Megul, and I left a cup of water on the counter overnight, so the next morning I could come and I could drink it. Why? Because the halacha says, we don't live in areas where there are snakes. We just, for us, it's not, which is an interesting discussion in general about how rabbinic law evolves when reasons change. Not our topic for today. In any event, so says the Gemara, so therefore that seems to be the logic over here. If you left the water uncovered overnight, you can't use it. So the Gemara says, va'amai, the ave b'misnes, literally, why don't you pour it through a strainer? They will say, apparently snake venom is thicker than the water itself. And if you were to go ahead and pour it through the strainer, lemaisa, again, you could strain out the venom. So why don't you just strain out the venom and go ahead and use the water? Our Mishnah must not reflect the view of Rabbi Nechemiah. What Rabbi Nechemiah say? This sanya, misnenes yeshbo mishum gilui. Because there's an opinion in this price that says, Rabbi say, even if you drain the water through a misnenes, through a strainer, there is still an issue of gilui. There is still an issue, ultimately, of uncovered water. Look at Rashi. Yeshua mishum gilui. Rashi says, first of all, take a look at Rashi just a moment. Lavrinu b'misnenes, kuliar belas, misnenes shemisanin ba kunditon, kimo sheosin ba'ali chanuyos, shetalui kimin kavrabo, ubo avkas rochel, v'yayin tachteha, kli va kunditon mistanel socher. What's at least to make something called kunditon? What was kunditon? Kunditon was like a spiced wine. So it wasn't just stam wine. Like it was like a wine with an extra kick. Right? Wine with an extra kick, an extra flavor. So how would they make kunditon? They would take a spice packet. They would put it on top of a strainer. They would take wine. They would pour it through the strainer, so the wine would go through the spice packet that was in the strainer, and the wine would then pool in a receptacle on the bottom. So the Gemara says, I don't understand, so what? If you're worried about the snake venom, just pour the water through the strainer, and Shalom Yisrael, you could use it. So it says the Gemara, Yeshu Mishum Gilui, Rashi says, Im himichu b'lo shmiro kishirsha shehiyas gilui ha-mufurish ba'kol shochtin, kedei sheyetzi nachash mitachas ozen kafar. So the Gemara says, because there are those who hold that even with taking it through a strainer, there is still an issue ultimately again of gilui. Rabbi Nechemiah says, Im masai, when is that true? Bizman shach tachtona magula. Both said that's only true if the bottom utensil was open, was uncovered. Aval bizman shach tachtona magula. So we'll say Rabbi Nechemiah is of the opinion that what? That as long as that bottom receptacle was covered, lemais again, that is enough. So we'll say what the Mishnah is just pointing out over here, what the Gemara is pointing out, is the Mishnah clearly does not reflect the view of Rabbi Nechemiah. Because according to Rabbi Nechemiah, if you did indeed leave the water uncovered overnight, there is a remedy. So remember, the Mishnah indicates there's no remedy. You'd have to pour it out and fill up water again from the kiyor. According to Rabbi Nechemiah, what could you do? According to Rabbi Nechemiah, you could strain it. Why? Because the venom of a snake, dome l'svug, is like spongy-like. Saf va'omer koma, and therefore again it will float. It will float to the top and will stand in its place. Therefore, technically speaking, you could go ahead and strain it away from the rest of the water. So therefore, you see the fact that the Mishnah does not allow that indicates to us that the Mishnah does not pass like Rabbi Nechemia. To which the Gemara says, no, afilu tim Rabbi Nechemia. It's not true. Our Mishnah could even be the effective view of Rabbi Nechemia. How so? Emar dam Rabbi Nechemia lehedyot. Oh, Habo say, when does Rabbi Nechemia say that you could strain off snake venom? That's for my personal consumption. All right, so for me, I could go ahead and take care of the issue of my megulin simply by pouring it through a strainer. However, ava ligavoa mi amar. But can you go ahead and do this for the basin? Like the Shabbos say. So what the Gemara is answering over here is there are two issues. There's issue number one of remedying the issue of remedying the problem, addressing the problem. And issue number two of appropriateness. So again, when I'm dealing with my own personal water, and now I have an issue that's what? That will bless you. That I don't want to drink, though. I can't drink the water that has a potential snake venom. Fine. If there's a remedy available to me, I can avail myself of it. Pour it through the strainer, get rid of the venom, shalom al yisrael. But the shaila is that what you should be doing for a sacrificial item? Is that really what's deemed appropriate to do ultimately, again, for something you're going to use for a sacrificial purpose? Does Rabbi Nechemia not hold of the precept of Rosa as stated in Malachi? Hakrivehu na lepecha secha. Hayiritzcha. O ayisa panecha amar Hashem tzvakos. Rosa, literally what it means is, present if you please to your governor. Would he be pleased with it? Or show you favor, said Hashem, master of legions. And we'll say what that pasuk is often quoted for is to say, Hakri vehuna lepecha secha. Would you bring this to a nobleman? Would you bring this to a person of stature? If you wouldn't bring it to a person of stature, then can you bring it before HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So what the Gemara is saying over here is even Rabbi Nechemia, who agrees that you could take care of the Megulin issue with a simple sieve or strainer, will say that's fine for mundane use. Before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, would we ever allow something to go like that on the Mizbeach? And the answer to that, of course, is no. Therefore, Lemaise, in the event that the water was left uncovered overnight, it spilled out, and the barrel is simply refilled from the kior. Hadrun Allah, Lulav V'arava. Mazel Tov. Hachalio Chamisha V'shisha. We'll say the flute. The flute. If you look at Rashi, where does a flute come in over here? Actually, not yet. So sometimes you blow the chalil for 5 days of Sukkis. Sometimes for 6 days. Zeu achalil shall base hashoeva. And what flute are we referring to over here? This is the flute that was played at the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. Look at Rashi. Rashi, v'zeu achalil shayu mechalalin l'rabos simchas l'simcha simcha l'beis HaShoeva. The Meharish Mas Nisin, both say this is the flute they would play again, when they drew the water, when the water itself was actually poured. So this was the musical instrument that was played to amplify the simcha of the water libations. She'ena docha lo'as ha-shabbos v'lo'as yom tov. Because Rabbi say again, this flute cannot be blown on Shabbos and cannot be blown on Yom Tov. Therefore, Rabbi say that's the 5-6. If the first day of Yom Tov and Shabbos fall out on the same day, then what? You'll end up blowing the flute for 6 days. If Yom Tov and Shabbos are not on the same day, you'll end up blowing the flute for 5 days. I will say also, just interestingly enough, this is also clearly a right. Remember, we saw what Machlokes says today about how many days you do Nisach HaMayim for. We saw an opinion that said you do it for 8 days. This is clearly a raya that the mitzvah of Nisach HaMayim is only for 7 days, not for 8 days, because the maximum number of days that the Mishnah says you're going to be blowing the flute is how many? Is 6, which indicates that Shemini Atzeres, there is no water libation. Look at Rashi, She'in Adocha. I'm sorry?
It couldn't be done on Yom Tov, so not on Shemini Atzeres either, so therefore Nisach HaMayim could be on Shemini Atzeres.
Correct, now docha yom tov, correct. So she'eno docha, hilcha chal yom tov lios b'shabbos, pashalu shisha. So therefore, if yom tov falls down on Shabbos, there are 6 days. Cholo shamoid b'nimtza chalo shisha, chal yom tov b'chol. Havilu tre yom b'shabbos yom tov, delo dochi, pashalu hu chamish. Okay, so we just said before. Mostly, I'll just point out to you over here just quickly, there's a Bayan Tosus, which is very interesting. Tosus says, she'eno docha lo es yom tov lo es Shabbos. Understand that what's the issue of blowing the flute on Yom Tov? The issue is not really a malacha, as we'll see. The issue over here is that one may come to fix instruments. We'll say, so that and fixing the instrument could end up being ultimately an av malacha, could actually be a real malacha on Shabbos. He says, kimo lo misapkin velo metapkin, just like again, Yomar talks about the idea that excuse me, you're not permitted to clap on Shabbos, which again is all Torah by itself. Doesn't really apply to this. The Rav Shulchan brings down it was much more rhythmic clapping that they used to do. But why not? Because again, you may come to go ahead and fix instruments. The Kaimalam de Ein Shavus b'Mikdash. And even though again, Rabbi Yosef, we say that, so therefore again, the concept of playing the instrument is an Issa D'Rabbanan. And I would say that normally Issa D'Rabbanan do not apply in the Beis HaMikdash. Shiny, excuse me, the Ein Shavus b'Mikdash, Beis HaShoeva Shiny, Ki D'Armina B'Gemara, the Ein Ela Mishum Simcha Yisir. Rabbi Yosef, we will see that L'maisa, when do we dispense? When do we dispense with certain rabbinic laws in the Beis HaMikdash? That's only when it comes to Avoda. But when things are not related to the Avoda, but they're just there for the amplification of Simcha, then L'maisa, again, we even follow the Dirabbanans in the Beis HaMikdash. So we're going to see the playing of the flute is not part of the Avoda. It was just simply there to amplify the Simcha of the base of the water drink of the Nisuch HaMayim. Therefore, again, it's not blown on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Amud Beis. Says the Gemara, Itmar, Rabbi Huda Ravana Chatani Shoiva Chatani Chashuva. It was very interesting. So one called it Simchas Beis HaShoiva, what the Mishnah called Beis HaShoiva. So one called it Beis HaShoiva, and one called it Beis HaChashuva. So the Gemara says the following. The Amar Marzutra, Mandatani Shoiva Lomishtabish, or Mandatani Chashuva Lomishtabish. And the truth is, neither of them are wrong. The one who said that it's chashuva is right. The one who says that it's shoeva is right. Man detani shoeva lamishtabesh. The one who calls it the simchas beis hashoeva is not making a mistake. Why dichsev ushaftem mayim v'sason? Because the pasuk speaks about drawing water in joy. So therefore, again, you see this concept of shoeva of the drawing. Uman detani chashuva lamishtabesh. And the one who says that it's chashuva, not shoeva, is also not mistaken. Why? The Amar Rav Nachman, mitzvah chashuvahi, the water libation, Nisa Chamayim, is a very important mitzvah. Uba'a misheshes imei bereshis. And in fact, again, what? It was already in existence from the 6 days of creation. I will say, what does it mean it's already in existence from 6 days of creation? This goes back to our discussion yesterday about the shisin, that the water trickles down into the shisin, and the shisin were created already from the beginning of creation, indicating to us that from the beginning, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had the plan for this mitzvah of Nisuch HaMayim. Okay, so just the Gemara is pointing out, if you ever hear somebody say, oh, are you going to the Simchas Beis HaChashuva? Just you shouldn't look at them like they're crazy. You should know that you're going to the same place as Simchas Beis HaShoeva. Good. Says the Gemara Baiter. Turn Rabbanon. HaCholil. So it's a very interesting sugya. So the Bryce says the following: Hachalil dochas Hashabbos of Rabbi Yosi Bar Yehuda. Rabbi Yosi Bar Yehuda says that in fact the blowing of the flute is dochas Shabbos. Wow, is dochas Shabbos? Okay. So the Chachamim say Af Yom Tov Ein Docha. The Chachamim say not only is the Chalil, not only is the blowing of the flute, the playing of the flute, not dochas Shabbos. It's not even dochas Yom Tov. They're both saying again when it's saying that even dochas Yom Tov, we all know that although the truth is, I think there's often this misconception that Yom Tov is much more lenient. It's not that true. Yom Tov is a little bit more lenient in some very specific areas, but for 95% of halacha, so really Yom Tov is the same as Shabbos. But nevertheless, because it has this leniency, the Chacham are saying, not only is it not Tocha Shabbos, it's not even Tocha Yom Tov. So he goes on, Amar Rabbi Yosef, Machlokes Beshir Shel Karbon. What are they really arguing about? They're arguing about the role of Shira in Karbon, right? The role of song in Karbon. Listen to this. It's very interesting. The Rabbi Yosi Savar, the Levim, should listen very carefully to this, because again, this definitely is this impacts your job. So he says like this: the Rabbi Yosi Savar, Rabbi Yosi holds Iker Shira Bekli. Rabbi Yosi holds that the major part of Shira, is done with a kli, is done with an instrument. The Avodahi, and therefore again, I will say the playing of an instrument. Remember, Shira is part of Avoda. If you do Avoda without Shira, the Avoda is compromised. So if you need Shira for Avoda, and Rabbi Yossi is saying the Iker part of Shira is what? Is the playing of instruments. There and therefore, Vavodahi, V'dochas HaShabbos. Rabbi Yossi, we know Avoda is Docha Shabbos. That's for sure. Avoda is Docha Shabbos. Now again, part of Avoda is Shira. If the Iker part of Shira is what? Is the Kli, is instrument, then what does that tell me? Then what does that tell me? Right? If A equals B and B equals C, then what? Then A equals C. Then Lamaisa, that means playing of the instrument is Docha Shabbos as well. Look at Rashi. Look at Rashi. Ikar shira, she karban ton shir min haTorah. Remember, every karban sibor requires shira. Ki damir meseches erachin mikama mikros. Asabri yosi ikar shir ina ele imkein chalil make imashir. Dechen kinoros unavalim hakol kimiyin amufurasham. Hilchoch avodehi v'chihechi detami docha Shabbos shir shalom nami docha. So this is fascinating. Rabbi Yossi holds the same that shira is part and parcel of avodah, and not just shira bepet. Not just singing, but the instruments are the most important part of the shira. Shira is part of avodah, just like avodah is docha Shabbos, so too shira is docha Shabbos. And if shira is docha Shabbos, then what? Then the playing of instruments is docha Shabbos as well. But Rabbanan say no. Ikar shira bepeh. So I said, Rabbanan fundamentally argue, and they say no. The ikar shira is not bekli. The ikar shira is bepeh. It's singing, and therefore what? Balav avodahi. And therefore, most of the playing of the instruments is nice. But it's not an integral part of the avoda of shira, and therefore the eino docha is a Shabbos, and therefore it's not docha Shabbos. Aval shir shel shoeva. Rabbi Sobos said this is a fundamental machlokes between Rabbi Yossi and the Rabbanon about the role of instruments in avoda. Remember, here's what everybody agrees with, which is what? That shira is a part of avoda. Everybody agrees with that. What do they argue about? What is the main part of shira? Rabbi Yossi, kli, instruments, Rabbanon, peh, singing. And depending on how you come out on that will depend. Are instruments docha Shabbos? According to Rabbi Yossi, it's docha Shabbos. It's ikar shira. According to Rabbanon, it's not. However, when it comes to the shira of the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, divrei hakol simcha hi ve'ina docha HaShabbos. Well, I'll say, interestingly enough, everyone agrees that the shira of the Nisach Mayim of the Word of Libation, and Rashi points out of here, shir shel shoeva, but the shira of the Nisuch HaMayim, everyone agrees that what? That shira is not part of the avoda of Nisuch HaMayim, but that shira is just there for what purpose? For simcha purposes. And the playing of the instruments is simply for the amplification of the simcha, and therefore what? Everyone will agree that what? That it's not part of the ikar avoda, and therefore it's certainly not docha Shabbos or Yom Tov. So the Gemara says the following: Amar Rav Yosef, mina amina de baha pliki. Rav Yosef says, how do I know that this is indeed what they are arguing about? Rashi says, de baha ki pliki beikar shir parab kli. How do I know that the major machlokes in Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanon is really about what is ikar shira? Is ikar shira bekli according to Rabbi Yosef and bepad according to the Rabbanon? How do I know that? This is very interesting. Disanya kli shares sha'asa and shall eat. So I'll say, what happens if you make a kli shares, you make a service utensil for sacrificial service out of wood? And I will say, under normal circumstances, a kli shares is made out of metal, some type of metal, gold, silver, brass, copper, something. What happens if you made it out of wood? Rebbe posel, Rabbi Yossi bar Yehuda machshir. Rebbe says it's possible, and Rabbi Yossi bar Yehuda says that it's kosher. My love, b'hakamethligi. Are they not arguing about the following idea? Let's listen to this. Man demachshir, the opinion, i.e., Rabbi Yossi, who holds that a wooden kli shares is good. Savar ikar shira bekli. Jose, listen to this. This is wild. Not wild, but it's interesting. He says that the one who holds that the wooden utensil is kosher, he holds because ikar shira is bekli. Watch this. So, what is ikar shira bekli have to do with the wooden utensil? Watch this. He holds that the dominant part of shira by the Levi'im is with an instrument, the afinan me'abuva demosha. And we learn out from, I will say what? The flute, abuva literally means is the flute of Moshe. Now, it's interesting. What does Moshe Rabbeinu play the flute? What Rashi points out over here is, I will say, already in the times of the Mishkan, they were using a particular flute that was made out of reeds. That was made from reeds. Or some type of tree-like material. That's called the Abuva de Moshe. And we'll say, now, why is this interesting? Because the Abuva de Moshe showed, now, again, we'll say, if you hold Iker Shira Bekli, okay, then that means that what? Not only does it mean that, yes, that the major part of Shira is instruments, but what else does it mean? It means that instruments have the status of what? Of a Kli Sharis. Because if it's part of the Avoda, then the instrument itself has the status of a Kli Sharis. If therefore you tell me that the instrument has the status of a kli shares, and they were using this abuva de Moshe, and the abuva de Moshe was made of what? Was made of wood. And what does that show you? That a kli shares can be made of wood. So, you know what's amazing? Just like a commercial for just a moment. You know what's amazing about Gemara, just in general? you see, like, there are like these amazing, like, beautiful morsels of magnificent information that just come here. You showed up for something about Sukkot, right? And then what do you, right? What do you, like, whoever heard of Abu Vadim? I mean, you probably heard of it because you're, you guys know, but I never heard of this before. Abu Vadim Moshe, I mean, for Sukkot, this is Moshe Rabbeinu, which is just amazing. Like, it's like a bonus. It's like a Ribono Shel Olam kiss on the head, that it's just like a little something extra that he just gave us. So, but in fact, fantastic limud. So once there's an Abu Vadim Moshe, if you're ikashira bikli, therefore your instruments are a klisharis. Therefore, again, Abu Vadim Moshe is wood. And what do you see from here? That you could use wooden utensils for a klisharis. So I will say, that would be the opinion of Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda. Uman the apostle, the one who holds that wood utensils are not good for klisharis, savar ikashira bepeh, holds that no, ikashira is bepeh, is not with the instrument, therefore, below yalfinan me abu v'demosha. So Rabbi said, if you hold ikashira bepeh, then what? Then that means that, again, instruments are nice, but they're not a major part of the shira, therefore they're not considered what? Therefore not considered klisharis, and therefore you can't bring a raya from the flute of Moshe Rabbeinu that you could use a wooden klisharis. So the Gemara says, lo, nope, not true. The kule alma ikashira bekli. Everyone, in fact, does agree, that ikashira bikli. Everyone agrees that, or both say that instruments are the ikar part of the shira, and therefore, again, instruments will in fact have the din of a klisharis. V'hacha bedanin efshar m'shei efshar. And both say, what's the argument over here? The machlokus between Rabbi and Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda is whether or not you learn out literally possible from impossible. What does that mean? Man de machshir, the one who holds that lemaisa, you could go ahead and you could use wooden utensils for a klisharis. Sabar danin efshar m'shei efshar. Rabbi Yossi, here's the interesting part. The Abu Vadim Moshe cannot have been made from anything else other than the reeds. That was just the nature of the instrument. Rabbi Yossi, you understand that, you know, when you make the material that you make the instrument out of impacts the sound. So apparently Abu Vadim Moshe could only create this particular sound because it was made of reeds. So the shaila is then, can you use the Abu Vadim Moshe as a paradigm for other klisharis or not? It's what's called, so the Abu Vadim Moshe is what we call efshar. It's impossible to make it out of a metal. So can you learn out other klisharis from Abu Vadim Moshe, which can be made, can you learn out other klisharis which can be made from metals, from the Abu Vadim Moshe, which cannot be made of metals? So the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Huda holds, done in efshar, mishi efshar, yes. We do learn out, even though Abu Vadim Moshe can only be made from wood and nothing else, we still learn out other clay sharis from it. And if it's good enough for Abu Vadim Moshe, then what? Then it's good enough for other clay sharis as well. Uman the apostle and Rebbe holds that a wooden clay sharis is not good. Sabar, low done in Efshar Mishefshar. He says, no, you can't go ahead and learn out the possible from the impossible, i.e., Abu Vadim Moshe is the outlier. Why is it the outlier? Because it couldn't have been constructed from anything else. But the other instruments that can be made from metals, in fact, what? Must be made from metal. So we'll say it's a fundamental machlokes. The other possibility is the chuli amo dikoshira bepeh. Other possibilities, maybe, maybe not. A full 180. Maybe everyone in fact agrees that ikoshira is bepeh, is singing, and not with instruments. The ain don an efshar mishi efshar, and therefore what? And you can't go ahead and learn out the possible from the impossible, i.e., you cannot use Abu Vadim Moshe as a paradigm. Bahacha. And I'm both saying here, when it comes to whether or not a klisharis can be made out of wood or not, b'melef menorah miklali uprati, o beribui umi ute kamiflegi. Oh, well, I said this is very interesting. So we know we have different exegetical principles in terms of how to learn out certain things. And depending which exegetical principle you apply determines the results of your lima. The Gemara is now suggesting is that the machlok is between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yossi by Yehuda and Rabbi is how you darshan the pasuk of menorah. Listen to this. Rabbi darshi klali uprati. Rebbe darshins klalu prati. Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda darsh ribui mude. Listen to this. Rebbe darsh klalu prati. What does it mean? Rebbe darshins a klalu prat. Va'asisa menorah. You shall make a menorah klal. Rabbi said that is a klal. That is a general statement. What's a general statement? Because it sounds like what can you make the menorah out of?
Anything.
Whatever you want. Zohav tar. I bet in Torah it says pure gold. Prat. Again, that's a specific statement. Miksha ta'asa menorah. It should be made out of hammered. Should be hammered. So again, on both sides, that's another klal. That's another general statement. Chazar v'kalal. So what do we have? We have a klal upratu klal. A general statement, specific statement, and then another general statement. Iyatadan elakein aprat. I will say, klal upratu klal, you have to go ahead and you darshan like the prat. Ma prat mufura shamatachas, just like the prat Rabosei, if zov tor means that it's a metal, af kol shamatachas. Rabosei, what does this teach us? It teaches us that the menorah, and by extension, all other clay sharis must what? Must be made from metal. Now, also, what's interesting about this is you may have some flexibility as to the type of metal. Maybe not gold. Maybe in the absence of gold, you can actually make it from another metal, but it must be something within the metal family. On the other hand, Rabbi Yossi Rayhuda Darish, Rebu Miuti. Rabbi Yossi Rayhuda Darish is a Rebu Miut. What's Rebu Miut? Vasisa menorah Reba. So Rabbi Yossi, again, make a menorah, that's a Rebu. Rebu Rabbi Yossi means it comes to include everything. You can make a menorah of everything. Zav Tahor, right when it says pure gold, Miet. Rabbi Yossi, that is an exclusionary phrase that comes to exclude all other materials. Miksha Taas Saha menorah. You have to make it Miksha. Hammered. That would be again chazav riba. So we'll say that is another expansive phrase. So what do we have? Riba umiyet riba. We have ribui miut ribui riba. And what does that come to say? Riba hakol. That comes to include everything, right? Comes now. What does everything mean? We'll say my rabbi. Rabbi kol mile. It comes to include everything, including what? Including wood. Not only metals, but also wood. If that's the case, my miyet. What's excluded? Miyet shelcheres. It comes to exclude earthenware. The Rabbos say earthenware cannot be used ultimately again for a clay shard. So the Rabbos will stop over here. We're not finished. This will pick up the Birkas Hashem tomorrow. Also, just watch your email today. We may start the daf tomorrow morning at 5:45 only because it's going to just start 5:45. Yeah, I mean, we're definitely going to do something at 5:45. I mean, that's even if it's, I mean, you should come regardless. Shmooze, learn, and we'll do something. But I just want to see how intricate it is. All right. Yeah.